General Council meeting open. Marion Council, full of surprises, and tonight we have plenty in store. It's a packed agenda. It'll be very difficult to finish by 9:30, and councillors know that although I try and move things along, I also like to give everyone a fair say. Not necessarily everything they want to say, but a fair say. I begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know in the gallery that we do retain the audio, we do record the audio of this General Council meeting. It'll be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members whether they foresee any declaration of interest, potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Telfer.
The annual business plan regarding the irrigation and wetlands schedule that's attached.
Thank you. And of course, that is a schedule that we are simply noting, so that will be appreciated, I'm sure. All right. Then straight down to committee recommendations. I haven't done the minutes. Confirmation of minutes from the last General Council meeting. Moved, Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Committee recommendations. The Finance and Audit Committee report. Some Councillor Telfer.
I'll so move. And I'll note that it's a huge agenda with lots of reviews in it that are worth reading.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, thank you. I'll just say before we go on that I agree with Councillor Telfer's observation. Well worth a read. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. There are now two confidential items, and having just had everyone settled comfortably in the gallery, I can inform you that our practice is to deal with the confidential items early in the agenda. That's why they're here. And it means that we ask everyone to go out of the meeting room if indeed there is a vote to make the item confidential. So on page 37, do I have someone to move accordingly? Councillor Byram. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Is that someone to speak to that, Councillor? We're dealing initially with the minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee. We are, one after the other, per the agenda. Right. Now, people will note that as per what is recorded on the screen, the named people, actually with blue type, are associated with the computer company relevant to the new system we have for recording minutes, etc. They have requested to stay in the room while we're dealing with these confidential matters to observe what happens and the process, the actual machinery, software, etc. So I invite any members to speak if they object. Councillor Hull, good question. I'll ask Ms. Thwaites to answer that because that question has, I believe, been addressed by staff.
Signed confidentiality agreements, so we do. They are aware of the obligations to maintain confidentiality.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, because you know, things filter out, and ultimately, an elected member is the leaker.
Can people just identify who moved and seconded then for the benefit of staff? Councillor Telfer, thank you. I'll put a question on the confidentiality issue only. Yes? The second one is arguably much more sensitive, and I tend to agree with that, Madam Deputy Mayor. So, is that going to interrupt their process unduly? It might be just bad luck that they get to observe one at least. They have other plans. I wish I did too. So we're at the moment we're just dealing with this motion, its confidentiality in respect of the Finance and Audit Committee confidential minutes. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, I oppose this and would be happy to move an alternative motion if this failed. Mr. Mayor, this now has got a header, Commercial Development and Regional Centre Zone. Now that straight away should indicate that it's absolutely imperative for the community to know what's going on. The public interest in this would be high. It should really be in alignment with another agenda item tonight about unsolicited approaches, where there's a strong reference to transparency. But thus far, there's no transparency with this unsolicited approach. So I think we're in a dilemma already with our own proposed policy tonight. And the matter should go out for public tender eventually anyway, to satisfy what a decent society would expect in this day and age, so we avoid innuendo and suspicion and the conspiracy theory. We need to redact the commercially sensitive information that seems to be embedded in the report that we've seen so far. And as you know, it's a very small commercially sensitive reference. And put it out there for public consumption. I don't think we should have anything to fear from sharing this with our community, because it's actually being true to form with the proposed policy later in the agenda. So that's why I oppose this at this point. I think this is everything that we espouse that we're not doing, but we're doing it. Hopefully not.
Of order. I can counsel.
Mayor Hannah, you're usually pretty quick to stop elected members reflecting on others. And he named me and accused me of grandstanding, and I asked you to deal with it.
Because of the accuracy of the aspersion, I rule that there's no point of order.
All councillors are aware that we do need, if there's commercial in-confidence situations, you do need to keep quiet. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in trouble, and the ratepayers have to pay a whole lot of money because of it. So I don't think there is anything, you know, we will follow a due process, and depending on whatever happens, there will be public information at an appropriate time. And all councils are aware of that, and it's just really disappointing that it's becoming an issue. There's opportunities to debate merits of all motions, whether they're in confidence or otherwise, and proposals, and that's where you make your comments. So I'm very disappointed that Councillor Hull is using, it appears to me that Councillor might be using this as an opportunity to get himself some airtime.
Yeah, you've made your point. You don't need to go further down.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, I think that, you know, I'm just sick of it. I really am.
In favour, sorry, is anyone speaking against the confidentiality proposal? A question from Councillor Gard.
Context, and so I wonder if it would be possible to at least meet him not halfway, but to at least address his concerns with an actual point or a notation as to particularly why this should be confidential. I think we all, our gut feeling is that it should be.
Councillor, I can help you on two counts there. One is that there is a reference, as there always is with these confidentiality motions, to particular provisions of the Local Government Act, and this is possibly one of the most blindingly clear examples of commercial in confidence material that we could possibly face. Secondly, I note that the confidentiality motion, as moved and seconded, is in relation to the report and the discussion, but not the minutes, so that within a short space of time, the minutes at least will become public, open for public debate. Further speakers, I'll just ask if there's anything further to add from governance, just from that point of view. Thank you. No, you've had your speaking turn.
I have not. I have not asked any questions.
You have had your speaking opportunity, Councillor Hull. So that's the time to ask questions.
Speaking is not a question.
Order.
You're denying me the right.
You've had your opportunity. Yes. When you were speaking to the motion, you could have asked your questions then. Now, if there are...
Any rule going forward that you have to ask the questions...
It's in the chair's discretion. That's the end of the discussion.
When it suits you, basically.
Everything. So you can move dissent from the chair, and you can have a vote taken on that if you wish.
Well, it's ugly to do this, but yeah, I'll move a motion of dissent. I would like to be able to ask a question.
Right. So just to clarify, the ruling is that Councillor Hull should have asked a question about this confidentiality issue when he had the opportunity to speak to the motion. He dissents from that ruling. It's a procedural motion, effectively. Is anyone seconding that? No.
No,
not
we can't on a procedural motion.
Is anyone seconding that procedural motion? Last call. All right, that fails for lack of a seconder. So now we proceed to... I'll go to the mover, who may wish to close the debate. Councillor Byram. Solely on the confidentiality question, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried by majority. Now, having been carried, I'll kindly ask those people who are not named to leave the room, and that would include our computer friends.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move as printed. Look, this is an exciting opportunity to have a look at, see what is feasible down there. I believe it's the type of report that Council should have access to. It's a small amount of money to see what's happening out there, whether we can look at erosion protection by building a structure out there, and also may also provide some additional environmental benefits. I'd like to see Council be involved in funding this report so we have total access to it.
Thank you, Your Worship. This indeed is a very exciting prospect. Lots of working out to do as to practicalities and how it associates with the protection of the coastline in general of that area. But from the point of view of an asset for our city and for our residents, both in that area and well beyond, because we know from the history of other such pools that people will go 4 miles to swim in that sort of protected environment. The idea of sharks is another thing that that comes to mind along our coastline, and I'm sure it would be very welcome from that sector as well, those that are concerned. So yes, I would commend it. I congratulate the rapidity with which we've grasped the minister's approach on it, and I do hope that we can make something of it.
I support the concept. I'm just curious, I would think this would be a bit early. Like, do we know if it's something that can actually be done as far as the laws go? Shouldn't there be a bit more information coming from the Environment Department before we actually decide whether we do a feasibility study, whether they spend their money or whether we spend ours? Because a lot of the rock pools in other places are really old and the legislation was different. So I'm just, it seems like there should be a little bit more information before any of us spend any money, just in case there's any deal breakers. Well, do we hold off until we get more information, or...? Well, maybe could we ask that the department provide us with, indicate if there's anything that could stop the, make this actually illegal, or if there are any deal breakers before we proceed, before spending anyone's money? That before were any money spent. That's all. If it's not feasible later on, that's on their heads. That part of South Australia, is it state government or local government?
Well, it's below the high tide mark, isn't it? Presumably it's below the low tide mark.
I think the actual...
All right, Councillor Telfer. Amendment.
What I'm suggesting is take out the words department, take out clause number two, and leave one in three. In terms of
so essentially, Councillor, you're proposing to be a partner, work with the department, but not put the money in.
I'll speak to it, if I may.
Point of order on that basis.
You need to get a second.
Point of order.
Point of order, taking the funding out is a direct opposite.
Well, I'm going to consider that point of order. I mean, the proposal that's come to us, if you go to Minister Spear's letter that appears on pages 42, 43 of the agenda, so he's saying, I would like to offer you $25,000 in matched funding from Marion Council to undertake a feasibility study, etc. So, rejection of the matched funding probably is a negative of the motion, because it would negative the proposal that's been put to us. So I would suggest a different... I'll uphold the point of order, okay? So I think saying, no, we won't spend the money, we might as well just say, might as well defeat the motion, if that's your intention as a councillor. And then if the motion is defeated, there would be nothing to stop us writing to the minister and working with the department, as it says in clauses 1 and 3. I think that would be a more orderly way of dealing with it. The point of order is upheld, so I can't accept the amendment, Councillor Telfer.
So can I then speak against the motion?
Yes, you may.
I would love to see a pool in Hallett Cove, a sea pool in Hallett Cove. I would love to see it above high water line tide, because of my experiences in the past in Glenelg Council. The time I was there, there was a proposal which would have been ruined by king tides, and the whole community would have wasted an awful lot of money. So I believe it's appropriate that this project is scoped, because it's only a feasibility scope about the environment. I believe that the minister has the resources in his department to come back and look at that feasibility. I find it quite extraordinary that he would have to allocate money, that's his choice, but I find it quite extraordinary that we have to match this in feasibility, because the coastal environment is known. The back scouring of groins is known. The banking up of sand on the southern side with the coastal drift, all of that is known. I did dozens of studies when I was on the Glenelg Council on this. There are books on it. His department has them. So even though we support this, we would love to see a sea pool there, we don't necessarily at this point want a study that actually could come out of his department anyway.
Any other speakers in favour? Councillor Hull?
So I'll be consistent. I've been supporting this ever since it was first muted, because I think it has merit. The questioning about whether the government has the authority or the inclination to support this should be discounted by the fact that this is an initiative of the minister. It's not Councillor Spears anymore. This is Minister Spears, the Minister for the Environment and Water. And he's put this to us. And I'm no friend to David. We've got a lot of history. But the young man has put forward a decent proposal. And I support it. And I think it's got merit to see it through. Whether it's above the high water line or below, that's what the report's all about. We only have one other pool like this in South Australia, at Edithburg. It's a long Kangaroo Island. It's a long way to go for the burghers of Marion to have a swim in a pool like this. Members, I'm from the eastern states. These sort of pools are commonplace right up the eastern seaboard. They withstand horrendous tides. Big enough to wash ships onto the beach, but the pool's still there. So, look, I think it's got merit. Look, think about the amenity. There's been concern down south about how we got not only an outdoor pool, about the indoor pool, and I can understand that. This is going to go some of the way to address that. And it's $25,000 well spent at this point, and it'll be a pool with a difference. And Who knows? The next problem, and I think Councillor Crosland's already thought about this, is traffic management.
Anyone else speaking against the proposal? Councillor Westwood.
I'm actually supportive of the pool idea.
And do we need to hear from you?
Are you hearing from me?
No. Do we need to hear from you? The procedural rules that we have one for and one against. That's what we're
trying. I'd ask you to wait till I finish the sentence, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
So I am supportive of the concept of the pool, but I think we should actually have some initial information, especially from the minister concerned. On some initial study, at least a desktop study, which shouldn't cost very much, to see if there is some information that might be contrary to or contraindication to having a pool there. So I think rather than hand out $25,000 at the first request of a minister, even though he's quite in favour and supportive of the area, I think we should actually expect a little bit of information first. But I'm quite happy with the general concept, so I will have to vote against this motion as it reads. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. And as I said previously, if it is not successful as a motion, then we can straight away come back and revisit an appropriate communication with the Minister along the lines you've suggested. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Byram.
To take action on that and to look at this. We know that there's all the people in the community who have signed a petition, and I believe it is around the 5,000 mark in signatories these days. And I think we need to answer the questions that are out there about this pool. It's been going around now for a couple of years, the discussions on this, and I think it's important that we at least look at whether it's high, low tide, where it fits. Is it going to protect the reefs there? Is it going to help with the beach sand? We need to find the answers to these questions, and we can't find out those answers without us starting to look at this. So I do support the feasibility study.
Councillor Lesky, you've already spoken.
A question, Your Worship?
No, well, I'm going to be consistent with that. You did have a chance before. Councillor Appleby?
I think given that we are asking to contribute 50%, that there will be an expectation that we will contribute 50% later on to the project, and I don't think we're in a position to do so.
Any more before I go back to Councillor Crosland? Well, I just wanted to put something to Councillor Crosland to take into account with his reply. Let's say it's going to cost, if it went ahead, cost something over $1 million, maybe $2 million, I have no idea. The next council probably may or may not be in favour of that. But I would have thought that more of a deal breaker than the environmental impact would be the traffic impact. So I'm hoping you can address that in your closing the debate, Councillor Crosland, because if ward councillors thought that it would be impossible to meet the demand of hundreds of additional visitors, let's say on weekends in summer at least, down to Hallett Cove Beach in terms of traffic, then what would be the point of doing the study on climate change? I'll leave it up to you, Councillor Crossan.
Thank you, Your Worship. As has already been alluded to, it's a very popular area, the Marion coastline. We've got 30,000 people currently walk the coastal pathway. The foreshore, since we've started renewing the foreshore, is getting busier. That has led to increased traffic and car parking requirements, some of which are being addressed currently with the development of Heron Way. Again, there's been 5,000 people nearly signed a petition demanding a feasibility study and to have a look at the possibility of a sea pool. Look, at the end of the day, I would love to see a feasibility study to see if it's even possible. The feasibility study may lead to something other than a sea pool being possible to put sand on the beach and protect the coastline, so I'm in favour of that for those reasons. Your Worship, you're right. I've mentioned it in the press. I've mentioned it to people who asked me about the sea pool. We will have to look at the parking issues, and if we're building a substantial sea pool, we'll need substantial car parking increase. If it's a small sea pool and it's going to lead to very few additional cars, then it may be feasible. But these are the questions that probably, which comes first, the chicken and egg, the car parking issue for a pool that we can't build, or a pool that we can't provide car parking for. At the end of the day, I think the feasibility study is the correct way forward. It is, I believe, in the interest of council to be involved in that funding of that study and to have some way of steering that feasibility study so we can ask some of the pertinent questions. As far as Councillor Valescu's concerns, look, I've spoken to Minister Spears. From the conversations I've had, as you would expect, he's already spoken to the Coastal Protection Board and looked at all the issues around a sea pool. My understanding is that if he's looking at protecting the coast with some form of a structure, the Coastal Protection Board said, believe it or not, that structure could be a swimming pool as well. So that's where it's a bit of a win-win for coastal protection and a swimming pool as well. So until we can actually see what's what with a feasibility study, I can't really offer members anything further.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. Divisions called by Councillor Byram. All those in favour, please stand in your place. They are Councillors Pfeiffer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Byram, Velescu, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. Those against are Councillors Kerry, Telfer and Appleby. The motion is carried. Thank you. So now we go to page 54, the Vietnam Veterans Relocation Project. Now, it's in two parts, if you will recall. So one is to assist the Vietnam veterans moving in, essentially, with their money. Mostly, and the second motion, which is the one after this, is in relation to landlord approval, allowing the RSL to bring a sublease about. So, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship, and I would like to ask if we could put the two motions together.
You may move them on block.
Consider them on block, and as they are printed, I wish to move them. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead and speak to motions if you wish.
Okay. So, yes, the Vietnam vets, there's been a bit of history, obviously, through time for the Vietnam vets, and they had been leasing this property at Oaklands from the Scout Association. So with the Oaklands Crossing going ahead, there was the need for them to relocate. They have looked at many, many places to relocate. There's been a lot of negotiations going on about that relocation. The best that we have come up with, and I do believe that this is definitely the best result for everyone concerned, is that we co-locate at Norfolk Road Marion on the same site as the RSL, and that we will be building some new sheds and a new building there to assist with the accommodation of the Vietnam vets. They have over 800 members and they do need a location. That 800 members means that it is not possible for them to currently fit within the actual RSL building at the moment. They do need to have extra room there. And the plans that have been designed, there's been a lot of work go into this, and I do commend the staff for the amount of work that has been put in, particularly by Glyn Ricketts. And so I do recommend these two motions. The RSL is in favour And so that's why we have the landlord agreement there as well.
Well said, and we are honoured to have the President and Secretary of the Marion RSL here in the gallery this evening. Welcome. Councillor Telfer?
I'd second the motion. This is about community building. We have the Vietnam vets in our community currently at the site at Warradale. They won't be moving all that far in the short term. They have to move away, but they're coming back. They are part of our community, and we want to support them, and we want community to grow.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Questions? Councillor Hull?
Poker machines. Is there any intentions to relocate or locate poker machines into this building?
Councillor Hull, the proposal is for a separate Vietnam Vets building just to the east of the existing RSL building. So the RSL building and its contents essentially wouldn't change. The new building for the Vietnam Vets would basically accommodate what they have at the moment at Warradale. That's the proposal.
Yeah, I know what the proposal is, but the question was, is there any intentions to locate or relocate poker machines into the new building that we're going to be funding their upkeep?
I certainly haven't heard that. Can any staff advise further?
I need a commitment tonight that that won't be the case.
I might ask Mr. Ricketts to come forward.
Mr. Ricketts has been project manager for this particular activity. Ricketts, what have you heard about pokies?
That is not...
Right, so in terms of the second part of the motion, which is giving landlords consent, is there anything in there that would prohibit them from having poker machines? I just see the Vietnam Vets a particularly vulnerable group with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they are the sort of fellows that might fall into...
I understand that Ms. Dixon can answer that question.
Through the Chair, Council previously passed a motion that stops any further increase of gaming machines in the venues that have them, so there'll be no increase.
Right, so we can rule that out completely. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I will add to that. Councillor Hull does know that their existing premises does not have pokies. They've never asked for them, they've never come to us, and they would have to ask for landlord approval. So there is no way that that has been even discussed or even thought about, and it is not even on the horizon.
All those in favour, raise your hand to those two motions. Carried unanimously. Thank you. And thank you for attending, members of the RSL or any vets that are there as well. Feel free to stay for the rest of this evening's free entertainment. On the other hand, you may, if you wish, take your leave. And we move on to page 63.
Your indulgence, I'm wondering whether motions... R06 and R07 could be brought forward in... too early.
Yep, so this is talking about more solar power at city services. Councillor Pryor, you moving? Councillor Hull, excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to move the motion as printed for all the reasons explained in the report and explained to us by Mr. Ricketts at the committee meeting last week. Now, for those people who raised concern on the night about is this the best place to have solar panels, well, It's yes and no in some ways. It's yes because it's already got the solar panels on there now. It's an addition, so we've already got the ability to export energy from the site, which is a real big plus for it. And it will go some of the way to offsetting the power we use at the Oaklands wetland for the pumping. So there is a separate motion that is in tonight's agenda about asking staff to explore the council facilities that are most likely to be the most suitable buildings for not only solar capture but solar storage, being the batteries. So that's there's two different processes here, I think that this is a pretty good investment, it's certainly making good use of the roof space at City Services, which is a new roof space. We know that structurally there's no problems with that. Where we found, say, with Marion Leisure and Fitness, we weren't sure. We'll probably be sure soon because they want to put some on there themselves. So we'll watch that space because I doubt that they'll actually fill all of that up because it is a really big roof space there. But in this case, we actually continue our agenda. This may well be the last gesture that this council had the opportunity to do with this matter, being our quest that we started out with 3.5 years ago to actually start not only having some solar panels, which we had very few of. Most homes had more solar panels than this council in its entirety at the beginning of the term. Now we've got a substantial array of solar panels that should be starting to bring a return back to this council in a serious way. So this is just an extension of that, and I commend Mr. Ricketts and the staff involved in this report.
Well said. Councillor Pryor, a second. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you for your full support. Now, Councillor Telfer, you wanted to move a...
I wanted to move a procedural motion that report number 7 and 8 are dealt with forward of report number 6 because I think they interrelate and that's a much better way of us looking at them.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. So we now go to page 88, which is what to do with the concert at the Cove and really in conjunction with that, the Marion Celebrates events. Briefly, the background being that sadly last March, bad weather on one particular day forced the last minute cancellation of the concert at the Cove. And we want to get it off the ground. It's just a question of when and how we do it. So you see that staff have suggested three options. November date this year, an October date next year, and 23rd of March next year. So if the March proposition was put forward, it would have the effect of having the Marion Celebrates event party in the northern half of the city come back March 2020 and so forth, alternating. So, Councillor Crossland's move.
Thank you, Your Worship. Speaking for the concert at the Cove, I would like to move the motion with the 24th of November 2018, option 1, as the proposed date. The reason for that is, look, I think the Marion Celebrates every other year is something that's sort of been locked in. I'm keen to see that progress so that we're not messing around with those dates. November, I've looked at the possible negatives of a November one. mainly been it could be really hot. Well, look, we could get that pretty much any time. We're a fairly hardy bunch down there. If we have to put umbrellas up to keep the sun out, so be it. But the main reason is that it coincides really with the finishing of a lot of work down on the foreshore. I think it's something to be celebrated for staff's efforts down there, and I'm sure it's going to be absolutely great. So it seems to all fit together for November and also maintain Marion Celebrates. So that's the option I'd like to put forward to members.
I just want to be clear, there's nothing wrong with that, and you spoke well, Councillor Crossland, but does that mean that you would see Marion Celebrates in the northern half of the city come back in March next year? And then the question would be, when would the following COVID, the concert, be in your conception?
Is what I was hoping, Your Worship, is we wouldn't have to lock that in, because we could do November, then March for Marion Celebrates, and then let the new council have a look at it and say, hey, November works, and it might be better for staff, and it may be the new date that suits everybody.
Thank you. I just thought it was helpful for us all to hear that. Councillor Gard, seconded?
Yes, I second it for the same date, Your Worship. I think it'd be a shame to get too far away from the originally planned launch date. I think November is generally a good month. It's a month where you can get an early summer storm, we all know that, but that can happen any old time. So I do think, too, that there is some merit in what's just been said, that November could be a good permanent month, because there's not as much action once we're through all the sport that precedes that period, and it's still well before Christmas.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So now we just turn the page, and we're on page 91. Marion Celebrates campaign strategy. I can't really say that with any relish. Spending nearly $20,000 on bumper stickers, etc. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I think this is something that we've all been waiting for. It is a perfect opportunity to bring the City of Marion in its structures and its offerings together with its residents and occupants, businesses in general. There are so many wheels within this big wheel. There are so many wheels within the big wheel, but it's a wonderful starting point for reaching out to the people. And I don't think, if everybody's read the item, I don't think there's very much more to be said. But there is one little thing that, and it's not going to be such a little thing as time goes on, in my view, and that is the opportunity to market individually the suburbs of Marion, and to indeed get residents to participate in the exercise and tell us what they see in the suburbs. It's spectacular when you go through the 25 odd suburbs of the City of Marion to actually note down the variety and the various benefits from one to the next. It is quite amazing, and it's something that I don't believe, having dwelt on it quite a bit, I don't believe any other council offers it to the same effect. So this is a very big sustainable competitive edge, putting it in marketing terms, that we have to play with, and I'm absolutely delighted that staff have seen it as an opportunity to run with that idea within this overall strategy. So I thoroughly commend it.
Just note on page 108 there, the budget estimate.
Your Worship, I certainly am. I think that it is ancillary to the general budget we have, which is probably a must-have type marketing budget. These are the items that we generally budget for are items that really, if you're a council, you've got to have them. Whereas this is a real reaching out exercise, and I believe that it will be an investment far from being an expenditure, because there will be great participation and enormous insight will flow from it as to our existing market, our existing residents and businesses, but also our potential ones.
Thank you. One more quick question. Would you consider renaming the campaign instead of Marion Celebrates, just Marion Rates?
Your Worship, I rate that fairly low.
No, I appreciate your honesty and integrity, as I always do, Councillor Gard. Is that seconded? Councillor, before questions, I'll see if there's a seconder. Councillor, calling for a seconder, in support of the motion. Councillor Pfeiffer, thank you. And I believe you also have some questions. Mr. Mifsud.
Thank you. Through the Chair, the reason why this is the most appropriate option available to Council is the budget process has been going since September, October last year and is effectively in its final stages. And from a disciplined point of view and from a prudent point of view, it's more appropriate for it to be funded this way, not through the budget process.
Other questions? Just a sec. Councillor Pfeiffer, you finished?
Yeah.
Done. Councillor Telfer?
So my questions relate to page 108, the budget there. Can we think of more than 10 places where we would put A3 posters? And where would we put 2,000 A3 posters in our community? My second question is, do we build community by giving out reversible stickers, or do we build networks and communities by the relationships between people in communities? And my third question would be, what is the effect, and where would they go, 8 movable banners for use as milestone events, $2,600?
Now, to take those one by one, question one about the A3 posters, where would they be placed? You've got someone to speak to that? Ms. Cox, Manager Customer Experience, will speak to that.
Through the Chair, in regards to the A3 posters, we'd be looking at utilising them through libraries, community centres, and having them available for use as we're rolling out the campaigns. And banners, etc., is what you see along fences in public spaces, so out the front of council offices, in public domains, so they are reusable and relocatable, but they would certainly be used in various locations around the area, similar to what we did with other marketing activities with those banners. And sorry, the third question?
It could be considered rhetorical, but it was making the point that community is built through interaction between people in community rather than through giving them reversible stickers, etc. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Any comment?
The purpose of the marketing strategy is to enable those places and the actual community to come together and to celebrate the things that we do well. This is collateral to help that enabling to happen. The different tactics throughout the strategy will actually promote what you're saying, which is to bring people together with a common theme for that 12-month period.
And the mover and replier can pick that point up if he wishes. Anything more, Councillor Telfer? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, these items that appear on page 108, the whole concept would be fine for a fringe event. All of these things are done during the fringe event and maybe more, which brings me to the point that with Marion Celebrates, can we possibly link that up with the motion that we actually have already passed to spend money on activating fringe events in Marion? In other words, a bit like Mount Barker. Mount Barker actually had...
Councillor Hull, I'll just bring you back to the point because this is a more general campaign strategy across the whole city, etc.
In order to give this some relevance and practicality, and I think Councillor Telfer probably does raise a good point that there could be some waste with this, but...
Ms. Cox. Ms. Vogren.
Through the chair. The idea of that in relation to the marketing collateral is that it wasn't just for the City of Marion run events, that there are a list of other activities that are held in the City of Marion over the course of 12 months that we could partner with, things like school fates, church fates, where we actually could go out and be part of the community whilst marketing the Celebrating Success campaign. In relation to the fringe activity, that originally I think was one of the ideas that we'd be fringe hub happening at the Marion Cultural Centre next year for 2019, that this particular campaign would effectively be launched at an event like that where these sorts of collateral would then be handed out at the event, and the fact that the fringe hub was actually going to be there meant there could be a different group of people that were there as well. So that, I hope that answers your question.
And then I'll speak. These things stand out, the costs, so are all the... Like all these posters and bookmarks, are they all going to be the same thing that's going to be rolled out? Or are you going to be doing posters for every different event and there'll be a total of 2,000 over the years? Could you explain a little bit more to justify this spending? Because there's obviously some concerns. So if you're able to justify this spending, that would be great.
Through the chair, these are budget estimates and they would be costed out more appropriately as we actually went through the specifics of the event. It is one common theme and then these are collateral that we could use per event. So we're saying 2,000 A3 posters and as we start rolling out the 12-month strategy, there might be tweaks around that as we get more involved in the actual content of the strategy. One theme with consistent messaging, but it would be tweaked based on where we'd be using the collateral. So different events and different activities would have same themes, same branding, but there would be tweaks based on the events that we're going to. So part of the strategy includes the development of the Marion Celebrates logo we would use consistently through the marketing campaign, but the collateral will be tweaked based on where we're using the material.
It's a question, but I'll also make a comment so it can be my speaking against. On council, I see all the events that council's involved in on Facebook. I see it in the Messenger. I get all the little bits of paper, flyers that we get, posters, you name it, I get the lot. Do I go to them all? No. Do my family go to them all? They don't go to any. It's not the marketing. I think the question I'd want to know is, why do people not go? Is it because they didn't know it was happening? I don't think it is. It's either the particular function that's happening, is they're not interested in it, or they can't get to it. I would rather see an option of how to facilitate some of those isolated people or people that are not going that want to go as a strategic option, rather than give them a bit of paper of this is what you could have seen. Seems to be like more pushing their nose into it and not helping them get there. So I'm totally against spending money on a strategy, but I don't see that more bits of paper and posters is going to get people there, sorry.
And that, thank you, Councillor. That does give me an idea. Something that I don't believe we've looked at is getting some evidence about which events are well attended or poorly attended. Now, that's not to say there should be 500 people at every event, but nothing really comes back to council that I recall, I mean elected members, on the author that gives a talk down at Cove Civic Centre, and there are 100 people in the room, or on the other hand, the public art exercise at Trott Park Neighbourhood Centre, and there are 8 people. Now, you don't expect the same numbers for different events, but the point is that I'm not sure that we gather that evidence at all. So I suppose there's a question there, Ms. Cox, should that inform marketing strategy?
Through you, Worship, I've just got the nod from Liz because I'm pretty sure I have the answer on that, and it's correct. We do have that information, so we collect data on numbers of people attending the gallery, all functions, and we have that data. Now, we haven't presented it perhaps to elected members, but we can easily provide some indication of which events are successful in terms of numbers or not.
Council meetings don't rate too well.
All right, yes, but even though they're the most valuable of all. So, look, just about everyone's had a go. Councillor Valescu wants another one. Councillor Byram, or Councillor Valescu, you had your chance, haven't you? Well, I thought that was your chance to speak as well. You said you were going to. Can you chip in a quick one?
Yeah, look, I'm quite happy to move the motion based on the events, but not necessarily the budget. I think the problem is you've got a really well thought out and a great campaign with a lot of these events. You know, some of the things here you've got, you know, about Marion's Got Talent, that's kind of a relevant thing. It's just that the collateral is a physical reminder of wasting money. And if you've got too much of that, that's the problem with it. So I don't know if there's any way that can be reduced or more information provided to show that it does add value, but that's the problem. So I'm quite happy to move it with a line item.
It's been moved and seconded. It's up to you if you want to move an amendment right now.
Okay, well, I'm quite happy to move an amendment with an amount to be brought back to us, a revised amount for collateral, and identified through the savings. But yeah, I guess that's the only sticking point. So I don't know if offhand any of the staff can provide a reduced number for that. I guess what I see the benefit of collateral is actually, it, you know, if it's a one-off event, sometimes it does seem like a lot of money. So yeah. So I'm quite happy to remove Dorse's allocation, a new allocation amount, or I don't know if staff can put a new amount on there.
Councillor, I mean, these amendments on the run chew up a lot of council meeting time. It's not really the best way forward, but if you want to go down that track, you could move to keep...
This is a reduced allocation to be brought to a future council meeting.
Well, you've also got in Clause 1 attached as Appendix A, and Appendix A has the budget. So, Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Worship. This was what I was looking at as well. So I actually wanted it to be brought back with the time frame that we're looking at the iconic events concepts that we're about to look at. I think the date that that comes back is we should re-look at this on the amounts of money and can put it together in that package of looking at it. So I wanted to make the amendment to reconsider this with the iconic events review and report that comes back.
Well, Councillor Valesky's got the call, right? So he...
Are you happy to do that?
Right. So you're happy to just not put forward an amendment, leave it to Councillor Byron, Councillor Valesky?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So Councillor Byron, is this really a deferral? Sounds like
yes, it does sound more like a deferral, because I believe it should be considered more when we review the iconic events one, which is due to come back in September, 11th September.
There's no real urgency to this.
No.
It doesn't start for months.
So I think we should look at that. What I did want to say was that recently I went to a West Torrens event for a Japanese celebration, and that was fantastic with the marketing, and I understand the A3 posters and putting it out to other councils as well as our people. And so I do understand a lot of that, but I think it is linked with an iconic event and this Marion Celebrates logo and campaign. So I think we need to put the two together and review them again in September rather than have them as deciding this one today and the other one later.
So would you like to bring it back to that first council meeting in September?
Yes.
And all of the councillors are free to chip in their ideas to staff in the meantime. So the date being? The 11th of September. So it's a procedural motion, in fact, to adjourn to the 11th of September. I'll just check with Ms Cox whether there's anything sort of fatal about that adjournment, whether it will prevent anything.
Through the Chair, those dates would be okay for us to proceed with linking it to the Marion Celebrate event in March. That would be enough time for our team to do that, it will be, and for us to bring back to the table just that clarity around that it's not for a single event, it's for a 12-month, and bringing it back to the purpose, which was a campaign that fosters community pride. So we can, that would be enough time for us to still kick it off for March if you chose to do so.
Is that motion to defer to 11th of September seconded? Councillor Westwood, anything else you want to say, Councillor Westwood? Then I'll move the procedural motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So we'll come back for that one in September. So now we go backwards in the agenda to page 80. Iconic events, I think, because there are three very distinct possibilities here that we should suspend standing orders and, you know, just get the range of views around the table. Councillor Byron?
Happy to move to suspend.
Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All right. All those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you. So, look, with a bit of flexibility, you've got three possibilities there. What I would invite us to do first is ask any questions about the three different events. Let's get that out of the way first. If you have any questions of staff, Councillor Byron?
Thank you. Oh, so we're suspended.
Yeah, it's informal.
Yeah. I actually would like to say, why can't we get the further information about all three concepts by the 11th of September? Do we only have to choose one, or can we get information on all? Is that possible to do that in the time frame?
It's really just a matter of saving staff time. I think that's probably why we do it. Staff want an indication from us about which direction to put their energy into. Ms. Cox?
Yep, that would be correct. And the time frame as well, with the deliverables of the communication team between now and then, it would be ideal to have one to really explore more.
Other questions? Councillor Gard.
Yes, through the Chair, I'm just interested to know whether any testing has been done of these three options, and not that you would need giant samples, but do you have some feel for public reaction?
I think this is the test.
The puppet festival idea was floated with the Adelaide Fringe organisers just to see what sort of appetite there was for the puppet performers to come to Adelaide for a standalone event like this, and also whether or not they would support it either as part of the Fringe or as a separate entity, and they were supportive of both, and that there was an appetite for a standalone event of that nature. The other two event or activities, the ASO, in discussions with them, they do a lot of research in relation to their visitors or guests that go to their concerts, and they haven't performed an outdoor one for several years, and so there is definitely, wherever they perform, there is a following that will go to their alfresco performances, so not necessarily within the City of Marion, just in terms of the appetite for these events, because aside from being City of Marion based, it was also about driving visitor destination. It was a destinational event. That was the scope that we were looking at. And also the discussion with AusAsia as well. It was there is an appetite again to have a similar event that's held outside of the CBD that celebrates those activities that are going on, which several of the large events that are held in Adelaide now see suburban events as a focus for them. Not everyone wants to drive into the city. They can't always accommodate those sorts of events, so they're really looking for local councils to put on some events based on their theme.
Other questions? Councillor Appleby.
Could we have a puppet festival with noodle food?
And classical music.
I'm sure
we could arrange a noodle food truck.
We could be the puppet festival. We could be the puppet capital of the world with a puppet government. Anyway, no strings attached. Thank you for that contribution, Ms. Falkland. Councillor Telfer.
My question is, doesn't this sit well within the state tourism focus and budget, and why would the City of Marion move into this whole space of large, iconic, one-off events rather than building its local community groups and facilities?
Ms. Falkman.
The scope for looking at an iconic event was based on delivering an event for the local residents, but also visitor destination focused. At the moment, Events SA has funding opportunities for attracting events in music, arts, culture and sport. So if we investigated some of these themes, there was an opportunity that we could stage an event that we could seek funding for. So it was, almost a partnership arrangement, so the City of Marion wasn't actually putting up all of the money for an event. The puppet festival idea was looking at a sustainable income model that the City of Marion could run, but we would actually be looking at generating income via ticket sales, via placing the performances at venues and facilities that the City of Marion own or sublease out to RSLs, churches. There was a lot of when we looked at the sorts of venues that could hold these activities, it was about generating activities in these venues that don't normally get a chance to host this type of activity. So that was building local community capacity. It was also potentially income generating for them via catering, ticket sales, or a percentage of ticket sales as well. Is that, yep.
And three, it refers to an operational budget there. They vary significantly, and there seems to be no opportunity to recoup much there. So I just wanted to understand that one, because obviously we have ticket sales in the Puppet Festival, the Night Noodle Market, I assume we're getting external vendors in. It just seems that just seems a little bit high to me, and I was wondering, is there any return revenue flows to offset that?
Yeah. The reason that there's a difference in operational costs is that, one, the Night Noodle Market was recommended for the Marion, the MCC Plaza, so there were some savings there in relation to toilets and the site itself. We can save on some running costs. The ASO was proposed for Warraparinga, which obviously is a greenfield site, so the expenses were a lot higher. Also, the ASO comes with a large budget in relation to securing them to perform. They are their entertainer fees and performance fees and training fees, so they are completely different in relation to their budget expenses. Is that?
Yeah, that doesn't quite sort of resonate with me. The operational expenditure on the Night Noodle Market is $57,000 and the Warraparinga is $39,000, so that's the opposite from what you've just said.
So with the entertainment cost, that is built in. The ASO comes with staging, tech, lighting, so all of that's built into their particular fee. So even though the operational budget is separate, am I explaining that properly? Yep. So one's got them separated out into a different... One's separated into operational, one's separated into entertainment. Because if we go with the ASO, they have to control and do all of that, but they charge us for it. The other thing is that there are some opportunities for income generation. So if we were to bring in some food trucks, we could charge them a fee for being there. There's also potential for both of those events to attract partners and sponsors as well. So there's also an income generating opportunity for that.
With two of these items, I won't identify them, given that they're happening well into 19 and even 20, I guess we're looking for 2020 vision with this, will those venues be available? Is there a guarantee that those venues will be available?
Point of preparing this report, we based it on Warrakowie Way and potentially Warraparinga. However, we could look at alternate venues if there weren't any spaces available at that time.
Right. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wanted to ask a question of if we were looking at one event for us as iconic, but concept three, that is the Symphony Orchestra at Warraparinga, that we were to work with the community at Warraparinga at LKCC, that they were getting the benefit of that and we were training them up and helping them with getting an event going. So I was wondering about that as a possibility and whether that one became off as an iconic one for us but was for them, and we did have it in the motion as being that we helped them to proceed with that one. That would be like one and a half, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't see any of them as actually making money, if that's what you're suggesting, Councillor. Anything to add, Ms. Pogram?
No.
No. Next question, Councillor Valescu, then Councillor Crossland.
Four questions. First of all, with the third event, and I do see that as probably the very different to the first two, will there be the opportunity to actually, if it sparks an interest in that sort of music, would there be an opportunity to where people can actually learn more about it? Will we be contacting the music schools around the place to be part of that? Will there be community organisations that can provide fellowship to people, if they are interested in that sort of music, that, you know, they don't just go on their own and go back home happy, they actually have the opportunity to network? That's my first question, and I've got another one, but I'll wait till the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, just bear in mind, we have one of the most successful bands, municipal bands in the state, Marion City Band, but Ms. Vogra?
If the ASO option was pursued, then the report brought up in September, one of the discussions we had with them was actually developing a program leading into the concert. So what they would do would be to offer in-school or community centre, neighbourhood centre, come and try activities or work on developing up some music sessions leading up to the concert, so the local community were getting interested in classical music. And then one of the ideas that we had about it was that they would develop up a small concert band of people who hadn't particularly tried instruments before and give them the opportunity to perform at this event. So the idea is that we generate interest sort of 3-4 months in advance prior to the event.
And my other question is, have you looked at Sydney Symphony Orchestra's performance in the park in Parramatta, where every January, on the 20th this year, they did a performance for the general public, and it was simulcast with ABC Classical FM. Is that something you've looked at? Is that something that you would consider as part of the process?
Through the chair, we've had discussions with the ASO about what's possible. They're aware of simulcast. I'm sure we could look at Coast FM potentially. I'm not too sure what their arrangements are commercially, but if that was something that you were to pursue, then we could provide that information.
Right, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. You actually beat me to mentioning the Marion Band, as you know, one of my all-time favourites. I've heard they're a grade A band. We pay them every year. I don't know what they do for us. I've not really seen them. But apparently we pay for them. We give them free accommodation. We're maintaining their building. Why can't they actually do this performance for us for free? Give back to the community, contest it, and all we have to do is provide the operations side of it, which would greatly reduce the cost.
People would come from far and wide. What do you think, Ms. Vaughan?
Through the chair, the Marion City Band would be included in the program. That would, you know, in terms of it was a three-hour, four-hour lead up with the ASO performing after. So we'd definitely include the Marion City Band. If we were to have the Marion City Band, I'm not too sure that it would receive iconic status, which is again what the report was seeking. So the idea was to put on something in the City of Marion that we don't normally see. Yeah, and they do perform at our events, sorry.
Yeah, it's just probably this don't go to the same ones I do. But I just thought if it's never happened for several years, isn't it fairly iconic to have a grade A band playing at Warraparinga? And if it's that popular, and that popular with ratepayers, surely they'll go to it.
Are you still talking about the Marion City Band?
Yes.
Right.
Are they not that popular?
They are in the musical community. Well, look, good bunch of questions. What I propose to do is just a quick straw poll, and then we can proceed with a motion. So if we think of Puppet Festival, Noodle Market, ASO, and then none of the above, although that does go against a previous strategy that we adopted, or something else that hasn't come up in the report, so whether it be Marion City Band or something else. But let's have that vote initially, and just for me to get a sense of where we're at. So you've got five different variations. Option one, two or three, or none, or other. All right? So, Councillor Westwood?
Could I suggest that we actually, in the first round, have your favourite, your actual favourite, and then maybe have another one, if, depending on how that works out, the first one works out. The second round being, what can you live with? That's it.
I'll leave it to me, Councillor. Thanks for that. All right. So you've got, I'm going to put up five options. You get to vote once. Option one, two or three, none or other, which we may or may not have heard of yet. Okay. Concept one, puppet festival. Night Noodle Market. And ASO... None. And other. All right, now the other people, one by one, can you tell me what your other suggestion is, or your best other?
Janet.
Have you even thought of one?
Thank you. Yes, I actually am in favour of the puppet festival. And noting that the puppet festival or puppets are very strong in Asia, somehow or other the noodles could be incorporated somehow if that, someone really wanted that. But what I would like to do, my other suggestion is that we go with the puppet festival, but that we also partner with our OKCC to look at what could be done there in the way of music open air. Went to the open air movie that was held there earlier this year, and it was brilliant and just a fantastic site to hold something. So would like to see, but because that is a niche type group of people, I think, rather than general population, that could be encouraged with a one-off type theme of puppets, I think there's potential for both. So I'm saying puppet festival with looking at what could be done with LKCC with an outdoor music festival.
I think you're really a puppet
person. Yeah, but I want to see about the others still being explored further. Yeah.
Well, the other, I mean, because we're thinking of mass attendance,
yeah.
The other idea is an excellent one. It is a beautiful space. In fact, there's a special event there next Sunday. I think that will be the subject of further discussion. Councillor Crossland, is your other, is a Marion City Band event? Sure. Councillor Hutchinson?
Was that you? Was
that
your idea?
All right, yeah, well, none of the above, that's fine. Well, where to go with that? Well, Councillor, what's your pick? You've got option one, two, three, none or other.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do like the idea of the ASO. However, I am concerned about the cost associated with that. And I think possibly, maybe it's a sort of event that we can partner and to try and recoup some of that cost and actually have it as a ticket-based event. I think similarly also I'm interested in any events where we can put up our spaces as the City of Marion to have an iconic event within the City of Marion that we're not actually paying for. I mean, everyone's always looking for great venues, and why aren't we pursuing an option along that line so we can actually partner for something?
It's sort of an ASO and sort of other as well, in a way.
Oh, yeah, sort of.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that I'm not sure we get a majority for anything there, but the ASO one had
nudged ahead, so I would suggest to you that we test that. I resume standing orders. Councillor Blisco, you moving?
Yeah, I'd like to move the option with the ASO, but with the proviso that we looked at possibly some revised costings, because that is a lot of money. That's part of the report.
You can move the recommended motion if that's what you want to do, because it'll come back with costings, work, exploring income opportunities, whatever.
Look, I actually think this is an opportunity to provide something very unique and actually quite special to the residents of Marion. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't be exposed to this, and these sort of performances are actually quite amazing and quite moving. I think that you have the pinnacle of excellence as far as musical ability, and this music is so good it's stood the test of time over hundreds and hundreds of years. I think this is the sort of music that can touch anyone. It was, and that's the thing, this music is renowned across the world. There's no words. It's you know, the universal music, a language of music, without sounding too cliche. I think also it has the opportunity to inspire people, inspire some of the younger people to look at music, and music is very beneficial. So I think it's a great opportunity. And I was listening to part of the simulcast for the stuff in Parramatta, and it's people that were going, families hadn't seen that. And, you know, the ASO is charging $80 a head for you to watch them do the theme song, the music to Star Wars in September. You know, there's the cheapest tickets for some events are $50 or $60. So you were providing that opportunity for our residents. However, that said, I do look forward to, if we can, a significant reduction in the cost before we make that final decision. But I think it's a great concept, and I look forward to more information.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. I want to just clarify. I hope I wasn't sounding flippant a moment ago. I think this is an exceptional opportunity for the City of Marion. I am concerned about the cost. It's a lot of money. The number on the paper is a big number. I would love to be able to see us find a way to actually recoup some of that in some way, shape or form. I also, as I mentioned a moment ago, I also want to make our facilities more open for this kind of big iconic event. You know, why can't we be attracting some of those fringe and festival events out to the City of Marion, especially amazing places like Warraparinga? With the ASO, I mean, it would be a truly stellar performance in an incredible location as well. Stellar both in terms of the quality on stage and the view up top as well, if it's an evening performance. I think we have some great opportunities to showcase not only who the City of Marion is and what we are and what we stand for, but also, as Councillor Valescu quite rightly points out, to expose our local communities and broader than that as well. You know, some of the amazing opportunities for cultural benefit that this state and this nation, of course, has to offer. And I think, you know, A, by doing an event ourselves, and B, by partnering with others to make our amazing facilities like Warraparinga available for broader concert and other purposes would be absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Anyone speaking in opposition?
No, won't accept a question at this stage after what we just had. Anyone speaking in opposition? I think you've had a fair go, to be honest, Councillor. All right, let's just put this to the vote. All those in favour? Option 3, ASO. All those against? Somebody not voted? I'm getting 11, right? So let's do it again. Hands up high. Those in favour, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those against? That is carried by a majority. Thank you. So all it means is we'll get a further report in September.